For the Meat Poultry Podcast, I'm Ryan McCarthy, Digital Media Associate Editor. After closing campuses in a frenzy during the spring due to the coronavirus pandemic, college and universities around the United States are bringing students back on campus while also staying socially distanced in the classroom. Although some programs can be done remotely, meat science departments have a difficult time completing its necessary classes without in-person interaction. So we reached out to meat and poultry contributor and Texas A&M professor Jeff Saville to check in on how College Station, Texas is handling blended learning. Saville takes us through what the students and staff have thought about the procedures to put their department back on campus. He also discusses the different interactions with students and how it dramatically changes from in-person to Zoom. We caught up with Saville right after one of his classes a few weeks ago and cover these topics and many other ones in meat education. Take a listen. The first thing we wanted to talk about, Jeff, was what does the Texas A&M meat science department look like for the fall semester compared to what you normally see a lot of times?
So what we're fortunate right now is that at least our big meat science class that we've taught here since the 1920s, so the introductory meat science class, we've kept the lecture online. We've got 160 students, and so that probably is fine. That's working out okay. And of course, that's what the model we went in the spring when everybody went off of that. And then even the summer, we had a class of about 25 students. We did that all online, including the labs. Right now we have the labs face to face. And so that's given us some challenges trying to figure out how to make that work, but that's fine. And so it's really kind of a hybrid. So what we have is we're having the students, and it's 20 at a time. So the 20 students in each lab. And so they're coming to the lab, and then we'll have a handful of them that are online only for whatever reason. And, you know, that's up to them. And then what will happen then is it's being kind of, you know, you're teaching, you're also Zooming, but you also have that. So we're in week two of labs. Week three is next week, and that's pork slaughter. So that's the first hands-on lab. You know, we're doing anatomy this week, so they can see stuff, but next week could be the first time. So we don't know exactly how many people we will have, but we had to develop a plan that allows for students to be socially distant. You know, we're going to have them come in groups. Usually what you would have all the students show up and do the pre-lab. So if we have the 20, they'd all be there together. And then you've gone back and kind of broken into groups. And everybody kind of stand around as you go through the process. Now what we're going to do is we're going to have like 8 show up, do the pre-lab.
Okay.
Take 4 of them back, suit them up, go to the back, and groups of 4 kind of start with stunning, you know, bleeding. Then they'll move to de-hairing, scalding, de-hairing. The next group comes back and they, you know, fill behind them. Then you'll have another group of 8 that will come in and they'll do the pre-lab. 4 will go back, start their process. 4 will wait on that. And that's what we're hoping. So we'll have people that will kind of start that process. And then as they finish, they'll have 4 go off and kind of do that. When we do the fabrication parts, what we've done this semester is planned again in our labs of 20, that half of them will come to lab 1 week. We'll combine it. So we would have normally done like an evaluation lab. You will learn about grading part, and then you would have come back next week and cut. Now we're going to do the grading and cutting combined. So we'll have 10, so we can put 2 people like at a cutting table with instructors, again, distant, and then go through that process. And then the other half stays home. The next week that half comes and does that. And that's our plan right now for pork, for lamb slaughter. Luckily, all of our labs are being taught face-to-face right now. So most of the lectures, especially if we have big classes, they're all online. But that's given us some chance. So as I've talked to the students, there's a lot of them that, you know, where they can, they're doing hands-on labs, and that's what we were hoping that we'd be able to do. Not all labs are that way, you know, but that's at least for the meat science is what we've got right now.
Right. I was, you know, that was one of my questions for you, Jeff, is it's almost impossible for your department and really a lot of animal science not to have some sort of hands-on regardless of what's going on. So what kind of precautions do you guys take in order to do this? Because I'm assuming a lot of people are getting prepared to go into this industry anyways. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think from the standpoint, the university has given us the most teaching assistance we've ever had. I mean, we've got multiple people, you know, instead of having one lab instructor kind of leading a lab with a little bit of assistance here once in a while, each lab's been assigned two. And you almost have to have this because you're doing a face-to-face and online at the same time. It's simultaneous. You know, just even checking the chats, is the camera lined up right? You know, are the students, can they hear you? And all those things like that. So we just go through a marketing class. I had Brandon Gunn from the Texas Pork Producers Association. Luckily, he was out somewhere. He was up in the panhandle in Texas and went to a county agent's office, got on, someone he knows, and got on there and did Zoom for the class. And so we had, we have both face-to-face and Zoom option. I mean, so we're doing kind of both, but even in the face-to-face, we're doing Zoom with that. And so, or I should say online, but it's all Zoom like we're doing today. So the instructors, you know, we've instructed them. I mean, everybody's still mask up. We're going to have back when we go to the back, we'll have the face shields. So it'll be about kind of a combination of those type of things there, and just, you know, even higher level of protection in that. And I hope that all works. You know, our big fear on this is we'd get going and then be shut down.
Right.
And obviously our numbers are increasing in Brazos County where we are. And guess what age group it is? It's 18 to 24. But, you know, all of a sudden you dump 60,000 students back in here. You should expect that you'll have just a higher number. My guess is that whatever increases we've had, I think like a lot of universities at the start, you know, it was probably more, we had a couple sororities that, you know, had outbreaks and they've been kind of quarantined. And, you know, it's the away from campus things that are more challenging than it is in that. And even today, once we went off campus in March and sent home, I had only been on campus about 3 or 4 days since that time. I mean, I've just been working from home and teaching and then doing the, you know, research or doing writing, doing all that kind of stuff, and spent a lot of time on Zoom, you know, on that. Right. And so I've decided to try to spend a little more time. I'm in my office today. There's nobody up here. I mean, there's, every once in a while, Dr. Griffin will be here, Dr. Kurth, but we're just kind of passing in that. And we can not wear a mask in our office. That's nice from that standpoint. And then everywhere else, you're masked up and, you know, doing all those things. The universities spend a lot of time and effort, a lot of custodial effort on cleaning, sanitizing. The classrooms are all set where they're color coded on the seats. So it's about basically every, you know, third one. So if you come in, you might be in the red dots at one time, go to the green dots, go to the blue dots, and then they'll come in and re-clean everything during that time period.
Gotcha.
Going.
Did, was everybody able to be tested too before classes started for Texas A&M?
No.
Or not? Okay.
No. There's a protocol right now that they can do random testing. It's kind of voluntary until people decide they don't want to do voluntary, and then it'll be kind of mandatory of both students and faculty, staff, things like that. So I don't know. They do have a COVID reporting portal now that they're, you know, showing up. And you can also do self-reporting. So if you've got somebody that has tested positive and things like that. But so anyway, that's kind of where we are. And we're just, I kind of think we make it. It's kind of like a country song. We make it to October. I think we make it. You know, it's kind of like if we can keep going and you know, and say we're going to have some numbers, you're just going to obviously increase. But if we don't have something where you go, like, oh, my gosh, this, you know, you've got this outbreak because of all these students that are in the classrooms or too close together. I think about the safest place you can be is on campus right now. And, in fact, I think even saw something where they were talking about, you know, I don't know who it was, that you're better off if you can keep the students on campus because then you've got a better chance of kind of managing things. I know the athletics had said that earlier. It's like, sure, you've got them all together, you've got a better chance of, you know, okay, reminding people about what to do. And if something happens, you can kind of care for people like that. So,
right. What have your students particularly said and how they've been responding to all this through? I mean, you've probably talked to them in March and now you're talking to them now. Like, how, you know, they've probably seen everything in the industry. So how have they really responded to a lot of this?
Well, you know, from our undergraduates, they're, I don't know that I've heard much from them about that. Obviously, working with the grad students, where we're in challenge is research is shut down. Sure. And, you know, there's some research we're able to do, but, you know, consumer research, we can't bring consumers on campus right now. And, you know, you can't travel. So, I mean, we're kind of landlocked right now. And so, you know, I visited with somebody in one of the Packers today about, you know, we need to get a project going again when we get kind of approval. Or can we get into the plant? You know, and so I said, yeah, we'll be able to find, because we're talking about probably October there. But, you know, you're going to have some other rate limiting steps are going to happen in this that we're going to have to look at and see how it goes. So that's causing some students who should be graduating in December, they probably won't graduate in December right now because we can't get that, get their research finished or wrapped up and things like that. But I think most students have been fine. You know, we did hear from a couple of them, they were more concerned that their professors, like, well, we're going through the motion, but we're not going to be here long. You know, and it's like, right. And it kind of reminded me that we need to still have a positive outlook, that regardless what happens, we're going to be here to teach them. We're going to be face-to-face or we're going to be online, but we need to make sure that they know that they're loved and that we're going to try to do the best we can to help them out during this time. And you know, you think about all the different things that have happened across the country, you know, graduation ceremonies have been, you know, online or, you know, now I think the big thing is you're at the stadium and the Jumbotron and here's your name across there. And all of a sudden you'll see on Facebook, everybody's picture of, hey, you know, they mentioned that I've got my name up in print, things like that. So it's like everything else. You just start trying to figure out how to modify and kind of go through that. But I know at least Texas A&M was pretty adamant that it was like, and especially the chancellor's level said, you know, you can't, his quote, you can't be an Aggie without being on campus. You can't get the full experience. And I think that's what everybody wants to do is make sure students get as much of the full experience as you can, as they can, so they feel like they're in college, not again online and just doing something. And most of the online things we're trying to do is synchronous. We're trying to have like a scheduled time. Class starts at like my 8 o'clock Monday, Wednesday morning, it's 8 o'clock. You know, we don't just get into the thing of like, we'll record it and then the students will all get it sometime and then they don't get it at all.
Hear from the experts in the industry on the Meat and Poultry Podcast. The latest news, trends, technologies, and people in the world of meat and poultry processing delivered right into your ears. Listen every Friday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know, tell me a little bit about your teaching style now, Jeff, because I know you've always been used to being in class and now you're doing a lot of this over Zoom. What has that been like? And did you have any reservations coming back to school at all?
Well, I've told students before and I've taught, you know, thousands, you know, over a 4-decade deal, I've taught, and I'm good at facial recognition. Maybe I could be one of those computer guys. You know, I can recognize faces. Now, put names with faces, I may not do that, but it's like, oh yeah, I taught that person, I remember that person. Now, you know, especially on Zoom, a lot of them elect not to have their face at all, or even if it is, it's kind of blurry. And then when you are face to face, you got masks. And the first right. time I actually walked in the classroom, you had like, you know, these students, and they're spread out. We're in like, we're out at the Bush Library in one of my classes in one of the big conference rooms. And, you know, we had 25 students or something in a room that would have held a couple hundred probably right. if you just, you know, put that in. And everybody's masked. And so you're just kind of seeing this kind of thing like that. I felt like I was in Arab country with everybody in a mask and everybody being fit, you know, proper and things. So you miss the opportunity of the before class visiting with people, you know, after class may coming up and talking to you and, hey, what about that? Or I had you in this other class, or do you know about this internship? And down here, I'm on the third floor of the Clayburgh Center. We have a big student atrium down here and it's roped off. Nobody can use it. So it's kind of like the students who are asked to come take your class and get off campus, basically get out of here, go somewhere. There's no place to congregate. I shouldn't say that I'm at the Memorial Student Union Center. There are some places they've got them spread out. But that congregating, the opportunity to walk through the hall, see a student you've had in class and just visit with them, how are you doing, all that.
Right.
You're just having to do it now more. What I call the students that you already had some relationship with, every once in a while I'll send somebody a text. How are you doing? How's classes going?
Right.
Any kind of thing you can do on that. And I keep up with a lot of them on Facebook too. Just, you know, how's it going? You know, happy birthday. How are you doing? And things like that. But you're worried about this current crop. Are you going to miss that? You know, is that going to be one of those? One of my colleagues, I always take pictures of students. I have digital pictures for the last, I've got black and white photos down in this drawer down here from the 80s. And then I've got 90s. I kind of get some color in there a little bit, kind of thrown together. And then in the 2000s, I've got digital pretty much for everybody on that. So a lot of times I'll have students reach out to me and, hey, I'm so-and-so. I had you in class. I'll just pull up their photo and have that. Well, he said, are you taking photos? I said, there's no need to take photos of everybody in mask, you know? So I just feel like I'm going to have that. I'm just going to miss that. It's just a missed time. But hopefully we'll get back and get going. Now, the point I think we're all struggling with now is with September. Well, decisions will start being made. I mean, students will be pre-registering, you know, in October, end of October, because we're going to be out of here by November. And so what's the spring going to look like? You know, what decision? Are they going to go full more, or are they going to, you know, hold off as long as they can, or what? So, and I'm sure a lot of that's going to depend on where we are. But those decisions will happen faster. That won't be a December, January decision about January, you know, semester. It's going to have to be made, you know, October-ish, November-ish, at least first November anyway.
Right. Jeff, I was wondering, after you were talking about all this stuff, after going through this entire pandemic and seeing kind of what everything's gone on in the meat industry and what everything's gone with meat education, how do you think the coronavirus is going to shape what meat education is going to look like now in the future? Do you think it is going to be this hybrid model a little bit now?
I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I've had a couple of people that have reached out to me, different places, you know, different stuff about online education, but especially like online PhD, which I told them, I said, if you'd contacted me in January, I've just said, there's no way in the world where you can ever make that work. You know, we're still basically, you got to leave your possessions, come sit in the classroom. You got to do all those kinds of things. And especially for PhD and a master's, maybe not so much, but you know, the few that we've had that have worked full time, it's terrible. I mean, cause we haven't been set up for that. Well, then about April, when I, you know, got those questions, I said, if you told me then, I told you now, I said, now I'm not so certain. And I'm not so certain that we don't start needing to build some of these things, but even, you know, like online workshops, I mean, We've got like HACCP classes that we've had scheduled that we're not, but we're going to probably do them online. And so, I mean, I think we're going to see, I think it's going to create some out of bad. I think we might have some good that could come out of that, but it's going to make us have to think about how to do that. We've struggled a little bit more lately with just getting the technology because they came in during the summer and started putting, you know, new stuff in classrooms and all that, trying to get everything ready to go. My colleague, Carrie Garin, made a comment, said, when they sent us home in March, we had our laptops with a microphone on it and a camera, and it worked fine.
Right.
Now we've got all this stuff. We've got a new learning system that we're using, and, you know, you're recording. And so there's lots of hiccups on that. But we were probably pretty good when we just had a laptop and its camera, built-in camera, built-in microphone that we were able to teach and kind of communicate and kind of do that. So, but I do think that it will be a change. The class I just got through with before I got on with you is marketing and grading of livestock and meat. And so it's basically marketing. We cover grading, but, you know, I get guest lectures. Well, a lot of the guest lecturers I've had have either been on campus or somebody, can you come to campus? Can you drive up and, you know, speak and visit? Well, I'm traveling that day, I can't do. Well, now I've got all kinds of bodies that are available and they're used mm-hmm. to doing the technology. And so in special way, we had to break the class. I've even got more opportunities. And so I'm filling this thing up with people all over the country. And the first one that I thought was interesting this spring, it was probably first of April or something like that, I get a telephone call from Temple Grandin, and she said, all my speaking stuff's gone. Do you need me to lecture for you? I said, well, of course I need you to lecture for me. And so we plugged her in. And so I've already got her scheduled for this. And what we did then, she had one of her pre-recorded lectures. We watched that. And then had her own and just do Q&A. And that's right. What we'll do this spring. But again, Q&A with Temple Grandin. And she was trying to get used to this, you know, technology then, but it worked out fine. And so I think now I've reached out to people that I would have never reached out. I've got a former student that knows University of Tennessee, and I've asked him on some marketing stuff. And so it's like I'll get him to, you know, do a couple lectures from his office there at Tennessee. And I've got, you know, former students that are out working in industry that are in Iowa or Mississippi and places. So now it's like creating this opportunity where can I get you for an hour? If I get you for an hour, well, gosh, that's better than I probably couldn't have got you any other time. So I think as I start going forward, we still want on campus hands-on stuff, but now we need to think about how we can bring people in that, students will now have a chance and they'll feel comfortable with the technology to be able to do something where they can hear experts, you know, mm-hmm. and we can get them in and do that. But back to the grad students thing, I do think we'll start seeing more opportunity for some of this blended, or how can we do something where somebody could come in and do some things.
It gives you a great opportunity to really, you know, expand what you want to do with your time and your lecture. And you can do a lot of your lecturing in real time too, by bringing in people, whether they're just coming right off the floor or, you know, doing something that in a plant too. I'm sure that's got to be something exciting for you where you can get them on a Zoom call so quickly.
Yeah. Well, and what would be interesting, like in the marketing class where I was doing some trip, we go to the auction barn and it's on a Tuesday. So we go see that. We go to HEB, to the retail store, and walk through the meat counter. Well, we're not going to be able to do that right now. But, you know, how can we go through when we kind of get past that, can still use some of the technology, you know, to do some things. Can't do it always, but it'd be nice to be able to do, like, hey, you guys over here, I'm over at the meat case today. Let's take a look and hold up a piece of meat. I did that in the spring. I was talking about in my meats class, I got to talk about something about bacon. And we're talking about like a number one slice, premium slice, and all that. And I said, wait a second. So I just got up and went to the refrigerator. I think I was in my shorts too. But anyway, that's before. But I came back in and I had some rye bran bacon. I just pulled it up here and I just held it up to the camera. And then I did take a picture afterwards of the computer with the bacon deal, with the bacon bite, and post that on Facebook. Well, you imagine all the Tyson folks love that, you know, because you're plugging. But it was like, it gives you a different opportunity to do some things if we're just innovative about that.
Sure. Before I let you go, Jeff, and I appreciate your time as always, it's always great insight. I wanted to ask you a little bit about barbecue trends. And I was wondering if you've been able to observe or see anything different while everybody's been stuck at home cooking a lot. You know, barbecue trends is something I know you always look at. So have you seen a lot of those during the pandemic of people experimenting a little more with barbecue?
Well, excuse me. My guess is that's a short answer is yes. We probably have had more questions about things, more people reaching out to find, you know, what's a good resource. I know our colleague David Griffin has done some, you know, FaceTime lives of just here's kind of simple grilling or, you know, doing something, and they've been well viewed either live or it's after the fact. And I think that's the other thing that happens on this. It's not the thing that happens right then. It's the fact that somebody has access to something that they're just looking for real quick. And so my guess is that with people having more time, that they've had more interest in it and have been doing more. We've seen that, of course, you know, the whole baking deal. You know, you couldn't find any yeast initially. Right. You can, you know, I mean, there's so much of this stuff that people have had. And I think some of it is you're staying at home and not traveling. But I was talking to a colleague. I've been doing like a lot of woodworking at home, you know, on at nights and weekends and things like that. Well, it isn't like I live very far from campus, but I'm 25 minutes to and from, you know. Mm-hmm. And so let's say that's an hour a day of commuting. And plus just the other stuff that happens when you run by and do, you know, run a few errands. Well, now you can get groceries delivered to you. You know, you can do so many of those type of things. And so you're finding that you've got more downtime maybe. And so I think that that's why the cooking type thing has made a difference. And I've got a set of bunk beds I've just done. I built some headboard for our house. And so, and my wife's done the same thing. She does a lot of quilting. And so we've had more of that time. Now, we're not getting up and we haven't been to church. We've been doing all that online. I'm teaching Sunday school, have an adult Sunday school class that I'm one of the young ones. That tells you how old that is. Right. And we're all doing Zoom. And because we got, you know, the age demographics of the folks are like, we're just going to stay in for a while.
Sure.
We're just getting out. So I think now we've had issues with availability. Now, going back to the meat, you know, where all of a sudden you couldn't get it or it was so high priced. And so now it's finally kind of getting back down to where people are saying, well, hey, I saw briskets at this price when I had picked up some. You know, the whole area with the pellet grills are just going crazy. And again, you know, all those different models of stuff, and everybody's kind of got their version of that in learning from that. But there's all other kinds of equipment that people are looking at that I think that give them an opportunity to be able to experiment with that and the time to do that a little bit more, where you're not scattered as much as maybe what you were.
Sure. Well, as always, Jeff, I appreciate the insight. We could talk about, you know, meat science, meat education for a long time. So thank you as always, and stay safe out there, okay?
You too. Good to see you guys.
Make sure to check out the latest stories from the magazine and online at meatpoultry.com. Also follow us on social media on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, all by searching at Meat Poultry. And if you like what you heard, please leave a rating and review. It really helps us. All right, that's it for this time, folks. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.